Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 13, Genesis chapter number 13, we're going to look at the same message that we were looking at a few weeks ago before we had to abruptly quit because of we're so rudely interrupted by tornado warnings. And so we had to dismiss early. And so we're going to look at this once again very quickly this evening. Genesis chapter 13. And just kind of recap what we've looked at in chapter 12. We have in the first part of chapter 12 the actual calling from God and sovereignly choosing Abraham, calling him out of his home country to leave the land of his fathers, the only land that he knew, leave the gods of his fathers, the idols, and follow the Lord God. And God had promised him in verse 2 that he was going to, out of Abraham's seed, going to make a nation out of him. So he was there, he was to sojourn, and he's following the Lord. And we get to verse 7 and it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there Abram builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." And then in verse 8, he talks about he actually built it there in Bethel. And that altar, he called upon the name of the Lord. And so he's going wherever God leads him. But then something happens in verse 10. We know, we've looked at it there, a famine comes. And Abram gets this idea, well, I'm going to go where there's food and where there's water. And he goes down south to Egypt. And there we know that he was outside the will of God. He lied about his relationship with his wife, Sarah, in order that his life would be saved. And so now we come to chapter 13 and we see him returning from Egypt. And chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." And this, we're going to entitle this message tonight, "Beginning Again." Beginning again. Because that is exactly what he is doing. In Genesis chapter 13, again, we find the patriarch Abraham, then called Abram, going back to Bethel. And in verse 3 describes it as the place where his tent had been at the beginning. So for Abram, going back to Bethel was not really a difficult decision. It was really a necessary decision, because in reality, it was a place where he should have been all along. And so if you will remember, Abraham failed the Lord in chapter 12 and going down to Egypt. And we could definitely say that Abraham got off track. And not just geographically speaking, but Abraham got off track spiritually speaking. And, of course, Abraham's story at the close of chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13 is a reminder of us that at times we too, as God's people, get off track and we begin to wander away from the will of God. And it's also a reminder that when we find ourselves away from the Lord and in a place that we never have been, what we need is to get back to where we belong. And the good news is this, that the Heavenly Father is always waiting for us to come back. And He's always waiting for us to, that He might restore us in right relationship and in fellowship. So let's look at the story in this text and see what Abram can teach us about beginning again, returning to the place where before we went astray. So notice the first thing I want you to notice with me this evening is this, where Abram came out of. Where Abram came out of. Again, chapter 13 opens with the statement, and Abram went up out of Egypt. And of course, that phrase contains more than just geographical detail. And leaving Egypt, Abram was leaving behind not just a place, but he was leaving behind an experience that had taught him some valuable lessons about himself and some valuable lessons about his God. And I tell you what, beloved, any time that we find ourselves in one of those places, we need to learn some valuable lessons of ourselves, and this being it, that we are weak, we're prone to fail, we're prone to fall, and learn some lessons about our God, how mighty He is, how holy He is, how righteous He is, how strong He is. Those lessons every one of us need to learn, that we need Him. We need Him. And so Egypt had been an unfaithful detour in Abram's journeys of following the call of God, but it speaks to us about the wrong turn that we sometimes take in our lives as we too follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, that for Abram, it was a time of personal failure. It was a time of personal failure. At the close of Genesis 12, we see how Abram responded to a famine in the land of Canaan. What did he do? He headed down to Egypt in search of food. Rather than believing the promises of God, rather than seeking the direction of Almighty God, Abram followed his own wisdom. And he went to a place that God had told him not to go. And I'm going to tell you, beloved, we get ourselves in more messes when we get ahead of God. When we go to that place where God has not sanctioned us to go. When we move into such a place that God has not yet moved us, we find ourselves in much misery. And it really is a sad scene in the life of a man who is called the friend of God. But while Abram's failure in Egypt is sad to see, it is nothing nonetheless very important for us to study, because it reminds us how even the greatest of God's people, even the most faithful of God's people, are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. So Abram's experience in Egypt reminds us all that salvation in Christ does not mean sinless in life. And even those who have faith in Jesus, we still have failures in their life. So it is a time for Abram of personal failures, but also we see that it was a time of providential favor in his life. Providential favor. Understanding Abram's failure in Egypt, we are a bit surprised when we read the second verse of the chapter, where it says, "And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold." So from a monetary standpoint, from a material standpoint, Egypt had not been all that bad to Abram. Pharaoh had given him many gifts in exchange for Sarah, his wife, who, of course, Pharaoh thought was his sister. But the reality is, however, all these blessings were nothing but the grace of God upon Abram, in spite of the fact that he had gone astray. Now, just casually looking at this, and just being a casual observer of this, someone might conclude, well, what happened to Abram in Egypt wasn't that bad after all. I mean, it wasn't that bad that he left outside of God's will. I mean, Pharaoh gave him a lot of wealth. Sarah was given her own maid in Hagar. God forgave Abram's sin and he started over again. So what's the big problem? Well, the big problem is that everything Abraham received in Egypt later caused him trouble. Because of their great wealth, Abraham and Lot could not live together. They had to separate. We see that in the latter part of verse 6. The latter part of verse 6 says, "So they, for the substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." And then also Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant who came up from Egypt with them, brought division into their home, brought sorrow into their home. You're going to see that in Genesis chapter 16. So, and also having a taste of Egypt, the world, Lot started measuring everything by what he saw. What he saw there, and this led to his downfall and the ruin of his family. So there are no benefits, beloved, from disobedience. No benefits. Don't ever feel like that you can go back into this world of sin and not reap the consequences of sin. He did. It came later. But sin always has consequences. Here's the second thing we notice. Not only where Abraham came out of, but notice where Abram came back to. Where he came back to. Now back in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 9, we read that, "And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." Well, the problem is that he went way too far south, didn't he? He went way too far south. Ended up in Egypt. And way out of the will of God. And then once his lie had been exposed, he was then forced to leave Egypt. Now, where was he going to go? Where was he going to go after that? He was not going to go back to his homeland, the Ur of the Chaldees. He had left that forever. But verse 3 tells us in chapter 13, verse 3 says, "And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had at the beginning between Bethel and Hai." So Abram came from Egypt, from the place of failure, and he came to Bethel, the place he had been before. So Bethel was a very significant part in the life of Abram. And it points us to where we must go when we, like Abram, have gone too far south. Notice that, first of all, he came to the place where he should have remained. He came to the place where he should have remained. Again, verse 3 says that Abram came back to Bethel unto the place where his tent had at the beginning. Now, when Abram first came into the land of Canaan, in verse 12, it tells us that he spent a little time in Shechem, and there the Lord had promised to give that land to his descendants. And the Bible says that he eventually set up his tent on a mountain just east of Bethel. And there Abram built an altar, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram had followed God out of Ur on the promise that God would show him where he was supposed to go. And there in Canaan, God appeared to Abram and told him that this was the land, this was the place. God said nothing about Egypt. He said nothing about Egypt. And in going there, Abram left the place God had put him and the place where he should have remained. And it's very important to realize that it was Abram that moved, not God. It was Abram that left the will of God. It wasn't God leaving Abram. And friend, that is always the case. It is us who are prone to leave our Lord out of the will of God. It's very interesting, the letters to whom Jesus wrote to the seven churches in Asia Minor, one being the church of Ephesus, and Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Jesus said to them that thou hast left thy first love. We do the leaving. We do the departing, much like Abraham did so many years ago. And then Jesus gave this church those words after He said that. He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." You see, it is better if we just keep ourselves in the love of God, as Jude tells us in his book, and remain in the place where He puts us. However, when we, like Abram, get off track, we must remember that we come from, where we come from, we must go back to the place we never should have left to begin with. Notice also notice that he also came to the practice he should have maintained. He came to the practice he should have maintained. Again, verse 3 says that Abram returned to Bethel. Then verse 4 says, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. So when he first came to Bethel in Genesis chapter 12, we know that he built an altar. And he called upon the name of the Lord. And it is there that he worshipped and he communed with the living God in a land that was filled with idolaters, in a land that was filled with pagans. But it's very interesting to note that Abram never built any altars in Egypt. Abram never called upon the name of the Lord in Egypt. So he returned to his altar and to the worship he had and should have continued all along. You see, one of the ways you can tell whether or not that you have gotten off track is by whether or not you are still in fellowship and in communion with God. Are you still spending time in prayer? Are you still reading the Word of God? Listen, if not, you need to go back to the place in your life where that is and was your daily practice. I can't help but think about the old Mosey Lister song. He was the one that wrote "Down on My Knees," which was just sung a while ago. But he wrote a song called "How Long Has It Been?" And the lyrics go like this: "How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?" Well, I'll tell you what, that's a great thought. And that's exactly what Abram's thinking as he's returning now from Egypt. He's thinking, "Oh, it's been way too long. How long has it been for you?" Hey, listen, if there's been any time that you've wasted in the world or away from God's table, the time to return is tonight. Tonight. Notice, thirdly, and very quickly, notice who Abram called upon. Notice who Abram called upon. Not only did Abram return to Bethel and to the altar he had built there before, but verse 4 says, "And there Abram called upon the name of the" who? "The name of the Lord." So in going back to Bethel, Abram was looking not so much for something, but he was looking for someone. Bethel and the altar he had built there were only the means to get back in touch with the God he had known there. And in much the same way, when we have gone astray, when we have gotten off track, what is most important is that we seek the Lord. Yet those who have strayed into sin, listen, they need to leave that sin behind. And those who have gotten out of church, listen, they need to get back in church. However, those steps are only the means to the real end, which is restoring fellowship with the God to whom you've walked away from. Notice who it was that Abram came back to in Bethel. First of all, it was the God he could call on. The God who he could call on. Verse 4 says that after arriving back in Bethel at the altar he had built there, Abram then called on the name of the Lord. You see, what made the Lord God Jehovah so different from the idols of Ur, from the land of his fathers, the land where he grew up, is that Abram could talk with the Lord God. He could communicate with him. There was fellowship there, unlike any of the pagan idols in his homeland. And so in going back to Bethel, Abram knew that his God could hear when he called. Here's some great news tonight. We serve the same God Abram did. Isn't it great to have a God who created this whole universe, all the planets, all the stars, but yet He desires fellowship with small man? Man who is made of dust, man who is nothing but a worm in the sight of a holy God. But yet He desires us, as Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee. He desires to be called upon. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hands are not shortened that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy that He cannot listen. We can call upon the Lord. That's a blessing. So in coming back to Bethel, Abram was coming back to the God he had called on before, but also the God that he could count on. The God he could count on. Now again, in verse 4 it says, there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. It's very interesting that this is the third time that this particular phrase is used in the Bible. The first time is seen in Genesis chapter 4. Speaking about the descendants of Seth. And the second time is found there in chapter 12, there when Abram first came to Bethel. And now back in Bethel, Abram calls on the name of the Lord again. Now, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? What does the name of the Lord mean in this context? Well, the word translated Lord in this verse is the Hebrew name for God, and that we pronounce it as Jehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah is the covenant name of God. It is the name by which He reveals Himself and His promises to His people. So in calling on the name of the Lord, Abram was calling out to the God who had made a covenant with him and who had made promises to bless him and to use him. So you can just imagine here Abram kneeling down in the dirt in the front of this altar that he had built for the first time in Genesis 12. And you can see him as he's kneeling there in the dirt. Tears are flowing down his face. He calls upon the name of the Lord. He says, Lord, forgive me. I have gone away and out of Your will. But I still believe that You are the one true God, and I call on Your faithfulness in spite of me. And in going back to Bethel, Abram reminds us that we can count on the faithfulness of our God even when our faithfulness has failed. Aren't you thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That we can call on Him and count on Him no matter what we have done or how we have failed. See, Abram's experience in Egypt reminds us that we are all prone to wonder. No matter how great we may think a saint is or how faithful one might be, we're all prone to fail. And Abram's experience in Egypt reminds us that we are all prone to wander. And in our journey of following the Lord Jesus, we sometimes get off track and leave the place that we should never have left to begin with. But in Genesis 13, Abram reminds us that we do not need 1,000 worlds to be restored to the place of peace and the fellowship with God. All we need is to leave our wanderings behind and call back to the place and go back to the place where we can meet with God and there call upon His name once again. And there in that place of repentance, there in that place of returning, we can find this thing of restoration. God forgiving and restoring us, blessing us once again. So if you strayed away, hey, listen, you might be here. You say, Brother Wade, I'm here. I'm not strayed away. Listen, your mind and your heart could be 1,000 miles from this place. You can be backslidden and still be an active church member. And by the way, that's where it all starts. Starts in the heart, starts in the mind, and then left undealt with, eventually, your physical body will leave this place. If so, return unto Him tonight. Find a place of repentance. Find a place of forgiveness and restoration that only the Lord can give. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, this evening for this passage. And Lord, we thank You for this great example that even the most faithful of saints fail. But Lord, we are also thankful for this passage and the demonstration of love and grace that You shown unto Abraham. And that same love and grace that You show us when we return to You in repentance. And there we can find restoration. Oh, Father, I pray that You search our hearts today that we might return again to the place where we first left You. Lord, we love You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to the Lord.